This is Borders-ish, a podcast about the boundaries in our lives. I'm Anna Allport.
And I'm Anna Sotomayor.
South of Vancouver, Canada, is a small peninsula that dips just below the border into the United States. It's called Point Roberts, and it's home to a little over 1,000 people, the majority of whom are Canadians.
Now, with the border closed due to the pandemic, and with most of the Canadians gone, Point Roberts has become one of the most isolated places in America. Alex Hunter tells the story of this small town and the grocery store holding it together.
In an ordinary year, Point Roberts depends on Canadians. To reach it by land, you need to travel through Canada. The village has 5 gas stations because people will drive across the border from Vancouver in order to buy cheap American gas. More than half of the property is owned by Canadians. The marina is full of Canadian sailboats, and the town's grocery store, the International Marketplace, displays produce under labels which indicate whether the product can be carried across the border.
All around Point Roberts, summer homes are locked up tight and newspaper deliveries canceled. Locals call this the quiet season. When a table at the South Beach House is a little easier to come by, and a guy can have an entire beach to himself.
That's a commercial for a Point Roberts bank from 1999. It describes the annual quiet season, outside of the summer, when the local population decreases. Today, those summer homes are locked up again, and again, a person can be alone on one of the region's many beaches. The border between the United States and Canada has been closed for more than a year, and most of the Canadians have left the community. The people who remain have been trying to keep local businesses afloat, which can no longer depend on border crossers and the owners of seasonal homes. In an interview, an employee of the International Marketplace, named Gail Kendall, spoke about this.
Everybody tries to give everybody business, but it's hard. Like, we've got 3 restaurants that have just reopened, but they're open on the same day, so you can't even really spread the business out. Like, we can only afford to get takeout maybe once a month. So 1 month it's to Breakwaters, the other month it's to the Reef.
After the border closed to Canada, the International Marketplace took on a new role. It was the only grocery store in Point Roberts. The only other ways to buy food would be to take the 2-hour ferry to the American mainland or to order online. People now depended on the store. According to its owner, Ali Hayden, it was the marketplace that allowed the community to be deemed self-sufficient by authorities.
I guess they'd have to let people through the border if we closed, but I have got employees that depend on their paycheck and their medical insurance, and so we have to keep the doors open. There are people on the point that don't have the option of crossing, even if it were open.
To help people supply themselves, Hayden says that her store has begun to modify its stock based on requests that they receive from shoppers.
We've created a system where they can email us or message us and say, hey, I can't, like the one I didn't ever know about was Paneer. I didn't even know what it was. And so they were like, oh, I miss Paneer. So we figured out a way to get it and bring it in so that they would have access to the things that they used to have access to.
Paneer is a cheese made from curdled milk. It's commonly found in India. Sometimes, though, there are things that Hayden just can't provide.
You know, there's some things we can't help them with. You know, we don't have a pharmacy. We don't have a veterinarian. We don't have a dentist. We don't have a lot of those things.
In keeping the doors open, Hayden says that her company is losing 5 figures per month. The president of the local Chamber of Commerce, Brian Calder, speaks highly of the actions that Hayden has taken during the pandemic.
There's no way she's making money at all for a year now, a full year. I mean, she's kept her staff, she's got full medical for them. Like I say, if it wasn't for her doing that, and I don't know that she can make the electrical bill. It's a big store. It's about 40,000 square feet. It's like an acre under a roof, and he keeps it stocked. I mean, talk about dedication to the community. That's above and beyond. I just applaud her. I mean, she's keeping the whole community together by keeping open.
Aside from helping to supply the community, the marketplace has become a point of connection for people, according to Kendall.
The restaurants and that weren't open, so the only place you run into anybody is either the lumber yard or the grocery store. And so we've kind of been a place where people can, oh, hi, I haven't seen you in a while. And they can chit chat and they're seeing people. We're getting phone calls for some of the weirdest things in the world, I think, just because people want to talk to somebody else. Like, oh, do you know so-and-so's phone number? It's like, well, you could look it up in the phone book, but I think you're just calling because you want to talk to somebody. The local joke used to be, yeah, if you can't find somebody, head to the store. That's probably where everybody is. And it's getting to that again.
People have also been calling just to learn about the unusual community.
You have people calling because they've heard about Point Roberts. Because they hear, okay, the grocery store will know everything. Like, who's the best realtor? How do I get to Point Roberts? It's like, and I kind of feel like sometimes we're the information booth.
The store has even been the donation center for the local food bank, which Kendall describes as the only other source of groceries in the community. Kendall says that the pandemic has made people rely more on the food bank, and locals keep donating.
That's where the food bank, our local food bank, has their drop-ins, and people are amazing all of a sudden. Like, I have people coming in and going, oh, I want to help the food bank. Here's $50. Here's $100. Can you give it to the food bank? And we're kind of like the passer on between different things.
The role Gail describes of being the in-between is something she mentioned a few times. At one point, she called the grocery store the heart of the community, before correcting herself and calling it a gathering spot instead. Just about everything in Point Roberts moves through the store, in one way or another. Other than being a place for people to see one another, there are a lot of jobs that come with being the in-between.
I have people, hey, I'm trying to, they'll phone from Canada and go, I need to get a hold of somebody. If you happen to see this person, because it's not a huge town, we're like 1,000 people and everybody sort of knows everybody. So you can leave messages. Sometimes people are leaving messages. Sometimes it's, I want to buy gift certificates for so-and-so. Can I just tell them to come pick it up? Like, they don't have to physically send it to them anymore. We've got a way of doing that. And that all came about because of COVID.
Recently, conditions in the community have improved in some areas. The majority of the population is vaccinated, and internal lockdowns are starting to lighten. However, citizens of the town have attempted to persuade the Canadian and American governments to offer a border exemption for the area, and it's been unsuccessful. There has been no word on when the border might open, and until it does, the international marketplace will remain a symbol of the community and resilience of a town which is cut off from the rest of the world.
You're listening to Borders-ish, a 9-part series produced by an audio journalism class at Princeton University. We are your hosts,
Anna Allport
and Anna Sotomayor. In the next episode, you'll hear about one family's journey escaping political persecution and how some of those difficulties have followed them to their new home.